Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action, Krishna Consciousness, text number 6. Sannyasyastu mahabaho.
Sannyasyastu mahabaho.
Dukam aptum ayogataha. Yoga yukta manir brahma. Nature nadigachati. Or actually, sannyasa. The renounced order of life. To, but. Mahabaho, Almighty Armed One. Dukham, distress. Aptum, afflicts one with. Ayogataha, without devotional service. Yoga yukta, one engaged in devotional service. Muni, a thinker. Brahma, the Supreme. Na Chirena, without delay. Adigachati, attains. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Merely renouncing all activities and yet not engaging in the devotional service of the Lord cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can renounce the Supreme without delay. Purport. There are two classes of sannyasis or persons in the renounced order of life. Mayavadi sannyasis are engaged in the study of Sankhya philosophy, whereas the Vaishnava sannyasis are engaged in the study of Bhagavatam philosophy, which affords the proper commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. The Mayavadi sannyasis also study the Vedanta Sutras, but use their own commentary called Sharirak Bhasha, written by Sankaracharya. The students of the Bhagavat school are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord according to Pancharatriki regulations, and therefore the Vaishnava sannyasis have multiple engagements in the transcendental service of the Lord. The Vaishnava sannyasis have nothing to do with material activities, and yet they perform various activities in their devotional service to the Lord. But the Mayavadi sannyasis engage in the studies of Sankhya and Vedanta and speculation, cannot relish the transcendental service of the Lord. Because their studies become very tedious, they sometimes become tired of Brahman speculation. And thus they take shelter of the Bhagavatam without proper understanding. Consequently, their study of the Srimad Bhagavatam becomes troublesome. Dry speculations and impersonal interpretations by artificial means are all useless for the Mayavadi sannyasis. The Vaishnava sannyasis who are engaged in devotional service are happy in the discharge of their transcendental duties, and they have the guarantee of ultimate entrance into the kingdom of God. The Mayavadi sannyasis sometimes fall down from the path of self-realization and again enter into material activities of a philanthropical and altruistic nature, which are nothing but material engagements. Therefore, the conclusion is that those who are engaged in Krishna conscious activities are better situated than the sannyasis engaged in simple speculation about what is Brahman and what is not Brahman, although they too come to Krishna consciousness after many births. Sannyasastu mahabaho dukamaptum ayogataha yoga yukto manir brahma natrena digachati. Merely renouncing all activities and not engaging in the devotional service of the Lord cannot make one happy. But a thoughtful person engaged in devotional service can achieve the Supreme without delay. The purpose of the material world, there's only one purpose of the material world, is to get out of the material world. There's no other reason to be in the material world other than to try to get out of it. But there's another purpose, that is, it's an opportunity to enter into the spiritual world. Now, just getting out of the material world will not make one happy, because where do you go? You have to have some place to go. And the alternative is either the spiritual world or Brahman. Now, Brahman is not considered the best alternative, although it's considered a better alternative than being in the material world, because in the material world, basically speaking, everyone is just trying to get out of suffering. And Brahman is one step of getting out of suffering, so it's certainly considered to be better than the material world. Now, it doesn't always appear that we're trying to get out of suffering. People are looking for society, friendship, and love. But ultimately, according to the Bhagavatam at least, even looking for society, friendship, and love is to get out of suffering. Out of the four main miseries, of course, we don't consider birth a suffering. We consider it a blessing. Happy birthday to you. We sing happy birthday. Of course, every birthday means we're getting closer to an unhappy death then. And no one sings happy death day to you. But happy death day means you'll take another birth. And hopefully you'll take birth in a human form of life and they can sing happy birthday to you. Although you just went through 9 months of suffering and you got out of the womb, which was another suffering, and they slapped you. Happy birthday. Try to get you to cry. Welcome. The first birthday was not very happy. And subsequent birthdays will not be necessarily any happier than the first one. In any case, people want happiness, but happiness, according to Bhagavad Gita, nashti buddhiya yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, nacha bhavintakshantira, ashantasya kutaksukam. That for one who is not in transcendental consciousness, of course they changed the translation for that, so I'm not even so sure what the modern translation is. For one who's not in, I'll give the old one. For one who's not in transcendental consciousness or Krishna consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there is no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? And here the new one is. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? In other words, if we want happiness, the first criteria is to become peaceful. And unless we realize we're eternal, how can we be peaceful? If we think ourselves through this body, then what is there to be happy about? The only thing we can say is we woke up today, there's another day. And we have another opportunity to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And try to avoid death. Don't go out in the street because the virus is looking for you. It's trying to accumulate points. So people are afraid that they might die, although they don't consider that every day they're going closer to death. Even if there's no virus, it's not that people weren't dying before, or they're dying any more now than they were before. Death rate is more or less the same. You get to a certain age, and they don't expect you to stay around for much longer. Anyone who thinks they're going to live for 150 years is quite optimistic. Still, ahani, ahani, bhutani, gachantiya, malayam, shesha, stavar, ich, chanti, kimas, trayam, atakparam. The most amazing thing is that although at every moment so many living entities are entering into the jaws of death, that those who are staying behind, they think somehow or another they're going to survive. But that survival in old age is not very pleasant usually either. The last years are not usually the most productive for most people, or the most pleasant. And yet, because they have no conception of any other possible situation Therefore, they try to hang on at any cost to this body, however painful and not useful it may become. Because there's no information that we're eternal and that we're not going to die when this body dies. As a matter of fact, as I said before, the body is already dead. Something that's dead can't die. So the body can't die because it's already dead. And we can't die because we're eternal. So there's no such thing really as either taking birth, because we never took birth. We just appear somewhere. And we don't grow old because the soul never grows old. We don't become diseased. The soul can't become diseased. And we can't die because we're eternal. So for the soul, as Krishna says, the jayate mrite va kadachin, nanyam budva bhavita na nabuyaha, ajopi shasvito yam purano, nahanyate hanyamane shrire. That for the soul is neither birth nor death, nor having once been, of course he's eternal, having, does he ever cease to be? He's unborn, eternal, undying. He's not slain when the body is slain. And this body can't grow old in one sense. It never really took birth because it's not alive. Something that's not alive can't take birth. It doesn't really grow old because the elements are always the same. As far as becoming diseased, we're always in disease in this material world. The material world is meant for being uncomfortable. Because without being uncomfortable, there's no impetus to making advancement in the spiritual life. If we think we're having a great time here, then why would we want to go anywhere else? There was an... if you ever go to a place, where was that? It wasn't Norway. It was in Denmark. I think it was in Denmark. In Denmark, the prison system is quite nice. In other words, you have your own room, you have your TV set, they have regular meetings where they have, you know, gatherings where they have feasts and barbecues and things like that. So it's nice to be in prison. So one time, these people in prison were having this feast, and one of the prisoners, his brother, decided to break his brother out of the prison during the feast. So he came with a helicopter, tried to get him out. But his brother refused to leave. Because it was during the feast, he wouldn't leave. So if things are too good, people don't want to leave. Even as a prison, people want to stay. They just want a nice prison cell, that's all. This body itself is a prison cell and it's torturing us. But because we're in love with it, we don't want to leave it. And in fact, the only thing we want to do is have other people fall in love with it too. It's torturing us. And we'd like other people to, you know, to admire how nice a prison and torture cell we have, so they can appreciate it too. But those who are learned, those who have some knowledge, they try to get out of the material world. But, because they don't know where to go, therefore they go to some place like Brahman, and they get bored after a long period of time, for considering our conception of time. But for them, it's not very long. When you're not suffering, then time goes very quickly. And when one is suffering, time goes very slowly. The more one enjoys, the more quickly time goes. Or the less, we could say, the less they're suffering, then the more time goes quickly. If you're on the dentist's chair, and you hear the sound of the drill, then time suddenly slows up. And if you ever had the experience of having a tooth drilled without any anesthesia, it goes even more slowly. Previously, when I grew up, they didn't have anesthesia. So it was hard to get the children to go to the dentist. They'd rather suffer the toothache than the drill. But in Brahmaloka, things go very quickly. When it wasn't Kukumi, it was his Revati, and Kukumi was her grandfather, I forget the name of Kukumi's son. They went to Brahmaloka to get Revati a good husband. And during that time, Brahma was having a festival there with the Gandharvas. It was a Kirtan festival. Kirtan Mela, actually. It was actually Kirtan Mela. And Brahma didn't want to live. He said it's almost over, just, you know, wait. Tune in. So he's listening to it. Kukumi, Revati, and he said, all right, Brahma said, the concert's over. What would you want? Well, we need a good husband for my wife, for my daughter, Revati. He said, well, I'd like to help you out. Unfortunately, you've been here for only a few minutes, but in your time, it's been hundreds and thousands of years. It's been yuga since you left. So your whole kingdom has disappeared. And anyone who's ever heard of your kingdom has also disappeared. So you have nothing. You're homeless. But if you leave immediately and go back to the earth planet, at this time Balaram is appearing, Lord Balaram, and he happens to be the eternal consort of your daughter, Revati. So that's lucky for you. So for Brahmaloka, it seems only a few moments or minutes. For us, it's millions of years. Now, we can't conceive of that because we're suffering too much, and time is going so slowly for us. Only when Prashadam is before it, suddenly time picks up again. Or when we go to sleep, how many go 6 hours? How many people realize, you know, oh, my sleep was going so slowly yesterday. Now you go to sleep, you wake up immediately, it seems like. Although from our period of time, it's 6 hours. But because we weren't suffering the whole time, therefore time goes so quickly. Now if you have nightmares, then time slows down. Matter of fact, you wake up to slow time, you know, because time is going too slow. You're rather suffering in the material, you know, awake than in a dream life. But if you're having a relatively peaceful sleep, 6 hours is an instant. You go to sleep, you wake up, you know, think, wow, it took me so long. I was working so hard for those 6 hours. And Brahman, time goes very, very quickly. And one falls down again after relatively, for Brahman time, a short period of time, to get back to the material existence again. And again, you try to get out of the material miseries, which means you're actually just trying to get back to Brahman again. So you're stuck between a hard rock, what do they say, frying pan and the frying pan and the fire. Either one is unsatisfying ultimately. Only if one actually takes the Krishna consciousness during this period of time that we're in the material world, or when we go back to the spiritual world, can one actually have some actual purpose of life. The purpose of life ultimately should be to satisfy Krishna. As we're so much intent in trying to satisfy this body and the senses, because we're in love with them, but that same love should be directed towards Krishna. As we're worshipping this body, as we're enamored with by the body, as we're in love with the body, so Krishna is much more lovable, an object. And when we utilize our selfless desire for service in relation to Krishna, we become much more satisfied and happy that we're actually doing something productive and beneficial for oneself and for everyone else. Otherwise, everyone is trying to think that they're doing something beneficial for themselves, but ultimately it all turns out to be a waste of time. Shrama evi kalam. without Krishna consciousness. So we're fortunate. At least we know what the purpose of life is, and we become more fortunate when we actually try to fulfill it. As much as we try to fulfill that purpose in life, then we become more and more fortunate, Bhagyavan. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? I didn't have any Mahaprasadam for Adi Purusha. So. He doesn't feel obliged.
Hare Krishna. This is regarding Revati and Kakudmi. So apparently he was from the Dwaraka area, Anartha province. So Brahma.
What was his name? The actual
Kakudmi Revata, his son, and then
what was his son's name?
Revata.
Revata was the actual one who took him. Kakudmi was the father of Revata, I think.
But the question is, it does seem a little casual that he decided to go to Brahmaloka. That doesn't sound like a very frequent story that the father.
He just happened to go to Brahmaloka. Well, they heard there was a Kirtan Mela, so. There's a lot of nice prasadam there, too. So couldn't pass it off. Besides that, he got a free ticket. I don't know, it's like these are in different ages, whether people had access to something, how easily they had access to go to Brahmaloka. I'm sure he didn't walk there. You know, that we don't really know, but besides that, if you have a daughter, the consort of Lord Balaram, you must be pretty special. Most people think their sons and daughters are incarnations, but he really got one. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita, Kidai, Srila Prabhupada.